I might suggest, I see Metro Councilor Bob Stacey is here. We might want to take the Southwest Corridor DEIS next, just out of courtesy to him. And
Chair Dyker, too.
Oh, there he is. Sorry, I didn't see you back there, Andy. Welcome. So come on up. If we could get these two elected officials and the rest of the team up, let's take this item next, and then we'll move to Oney. This is not the only meeting on these gentlemen's calendar today, I suspect.
Mayor, would you like Leah to go into your intro, or just start with?
Whatever, if Andy's looking ready, so I think if
I'm ready.
You want to just launch?
Sure.
And then Leah will do her intro after you speak.
Okay, Mayor Hales, Council. Thanks for having me in today. The purpose of being here today, I understand, is to clarify Washington County's position in regard to the Southwest Corridor. And I want to begin by saying that I-5 and 99W are at capacity. There isn't any funds for additional right-of-way in the area. High-capacity transit increases the travel options that people have throughout Tigard, Tualatin, and Sherwood. And the plan that has been developed includes targeted road improvements that mitigate congestion, as well as the possibility of leveraging funds, federal funds, which you all know. But the timing is very important, and we're on a track that we need to continue. The Southwest Corridor is the region's highest priority for transit investment, and if we squander the opportunity today, we're going to be left with increasing traffic with no clear opportunity to mitigate it. So while we value the voters' views, there are two very important questions. The close vote in Tigard about high-capacity transit could not be interpreted one way or the other. It couldn't be interpreted as anti-high-capacity transit, or that the voters necessarily wanted to vote on everything. But we would like to know what the answer to that is. And so we support a clarifying vote in Tigard sooner rather than later to find out specifically what the voters are asking for. But in the meantime, we need to develop the draft EIS to move forward with something that we can actually put before the voters. And to that end, Washington County is planning on funding that EIS. We're committed to it. We are not any less committed to high-capacity transit than we were before the vote. So we want to make it very clear that we are going to provide that financial support, and this is a regional decision that must include Tigard and all of the partners. The city of Tigard as well is trying to figure out exactly how they proceed from here. We don't want the Tigard vote to impede the access to other areas of the county by believing that simply because of this vote, then nothing can go through Tigard to resolve issues in Tualatin and Sherwood as well. And of course, on the other end, you all know it's connected to your city. So that whole corridor is important to the entire region. The county supports Tigard's development vision, and we're going to continue to support the city's planning efforts. So just if I can reiterate, we are fully committed to moving forward and funding that draft EIS.
Thank you very much, Andy.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, I turn this one.
Yeah. My remarks after Chair Dykes are sort of superfluous, and I'm a little embarrassed to make one of the arguments in front of Chair Dyke, which is more than half of the alignment of this project, the Southwest Corridor, is located in the city of Portland. So you're getting roughly half the benefit. Fortunately, so is Washington County and its cities. And I was going to make you this offer. Your contribution to the cost of the draft environmental impact statement in the budget year ahead will be matched 7-1 by other partners. And of course, again, Chair Dyke is getting the same ratio because he's making a roughly, or maybe precisely, same contribution. But regional partners, including other cities, and very significantly, TriMet, ODOT, and the Metro regional funding from the federal government through the MTIP will be the lion's share of the contribution. As Chair Dyke alluded, there's a long road ahead of us. This would be a two-year environmental impact statement review, followed by a locally preferred alternative selection. And that means any delay here means longer delay in what has to be a very exhaustive and careful response to federal requirements. As Chair Dyke said, the mayor of Tigard has made it really clear to other partners that he and his council continue to believe in the value and importance of light rail or bus rapid transit connecting their city to the region. They want to get some assurance from their voters that in protecting the community's interests as expressed by voters, let's not have extra congestion because of transit. Let's not require comprehensive plan changes or zoning changes to accommodate high-capacity transit unless we voters approve. He wants to confirm that the voters want the city government to continue to participate in the planning process in order to protect those interests of the city of Tigard. And they're not viewing it as the death knell of their participation, but as needing clarification to proceed on the course that they want to do to protect the interests of Tigard residents, as do we. I think all the other partners, including Metro, want to see an outcome that's good for the citizens and residents all through the corridor and builds place, not impedes livability. But there are experts here, including your own transportation director, that can give you the numbers more precisely, or other points that you may have questions about.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Can take it from there, and then we can maybe have questions for both of the elected officials here and the staff that are supporting this request.
Sure, yes, and I'd also like to point out that, again, I'm joined by Art Pierce, our planning manager. This is a special appropriation request of the council to fund the city's portion of the Southwest Corridor draft environmental impact statement. EISs are a requirement for the use of federal transit dollars under the National Environmental Policy Act. It's a tool for decision making as it describes the positive and negative environmental effects of a proposed action. In particular, an EIS acts as an enforcement mechanism to ensure that the federal government adheres to the goals and policies outlined in NEPA. The Southwest Corridor project itself will be examining fast, reliable, high-capacity transit as a solution to existing and projected future congestion problems, limited access to transit, and transit demand within the corridor. It is also going to look for ways to strengthen pedestrian and bicycle connectivity and access to key places in Southwest Corridor neighborhoods. And it will likely include support for compact, walkable station areas with concentrations of activities, services, housing, and businesses. The Southwest Corridor was originally identified as the region's top priority for consideration for a high-capacity transit investment in the 2009 Regional High-Capacity Transit Plan. And our regional partners have been working together since 2011 to develop and refine the Southwest Corridor Plan aimed at defining a potential transit investment to serve the community land use vision. In order for the Southwest Corridor to move forward, the alternatives must be analyzed for performance and potential impacts. As has been mentioned, this includes regional partners such as Metro, ODOT, TriMet, Washington County, and local cities, and they have all been asked to fund the preparation of this draft environmental impact statement. The special appropriation request from the City of Portland for the fiscal year 14-15 budget is for $650,000, and there will be an additional request in the 15-16 budget in the amount of $700,000. Upon completion of the DEIS, the locally preferred alternative will be determined, which is, again, required in order for project development under FDA requirements.
Great. Thank you.
I apologize for not introducing myself. I'm Bob Stacey, Metro Councilor for District 6, and a co-chair of the steering committee for the project.
Right. And if we could just introduce the other people joining us at the table.
Yeah. I'm Malu Wilkinson, Metro's Southwest Corridor Project Manager.
Alyssa Gertler, Metro Planning Director.
Welcome. Okay, so this is a pretty high-powered team here of both elected officials and staff that have been working on this project. Mr. Novick's been pretty involved in this already, so he may have some amplifying comments, and there may be some other questions here. But
Well, one thing that I wanted to mention is that last year, almost exactly a year ago, the council adopted the Barber Concept Plan. And I was looking at that again recently, and I noted that the conclusion to that said, this concept plan sets forth a land use strategy to leverage regional investment in high capacity transit to achieve community aspirations for more walkable, vibrant Barber. It is important for the city and residents to continue to play an active role in the regional Southwest Corridor plan process and subsequent phases of identifying future investments in high capacity transit and other infrastructure. So I believe that this investment is consistent with that commitment that we made. We've got, by the way, I wanted to ask Malou if she could take a moment to explain how the division of financial responsibility was arrived at between the jurisdictions. We also have Michael Harrison here from OHSU, which is an interested party, to explain briefly what OHSU's interest is. And it also might be worthwhile to have Joe Zender just speak briefly as to how this fits into BPS's vision for the city.
Okay, Malou, please.
All right. So essentially, as we were looking at how we would take the collaborative approach that we have been taking with the Southwest Corridor Plan from the beginning into moving forward into an environmental impact statement, we began looking at who the partners, as we had narrowed down to look at the high-capacity transit options that we would continue to study. We started out, remember, looking from Portland all the way to Sherwood, from Lake Oswego to Beaverton, and we narrowed that down to a smaller set of design options that really go from Portland to Tualatin and serving Tigard. So as we looked at the cost of completing an environmental impact statement and thinking about how we can share responsibility for that, we looked at both the potential benefit to communities and the potential resources, you know, the ability of each community to be a partner at the table in moving forward collaboratively to fund it. So we looked at the regional agencies as taking the lion's share of the burden, TriMet, Metro, and ODOT, and then we looked at Portland with over half of the length and half of the design options in Washington County as being a critical component of helping to fund that. And then the cities playing a role commensurate with both the amount of the work that was in the cities and their ability to be at the table in a financial capacity. So that's essentially how we came up with our framework for the shared investment in an environmental impact statement.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Joe or Michael?
Thank you for inviting me here today. I'm Michael Harrison with Oregon Health and Science University. Since the last time I was here, the state of Oregon made a $200 million investment in the Night Cancer Challenge, something that this council supported through your representatives in Salem. So I just wanted to thank you for that since I haven't been here. OHSU has over 14,000 employees, and it's a number that has continued to grow since the recession. This includes nurses, doctors, and scientists on the healthcare side, as well as a wide array of supporting roles, everything from carpenters to folks who work in our warehouse and in our IT department. The availability of transit has helped us grow in a constrained urban environment. Approximately 60% of our employees use alternative transportation to get to work today. OHSU will continue to grow, including in the fairly near term, adding an estimated 380 new employees thanks to the Night Challenge. Our employees live throughout the city, including along the Southwest Corridor, and the investment in the Southwest Corridor would go a great deal to making their lives easier as they commute to and from work into the future, and as well as ensuring that any future development is really viable in the area. Thank you.
Great. I'm Joe Zender, Chief Planner with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. And just to pick up a little bit on what Commissioner Novick said, we completed the Barber Concept Plan. And in that plan, we reached a community consensus about how to use land and develop places along Barber to accommodate growth, but also to support the health and support the interest of the neighborhoods that align Barber as well. And one of the conclusions of that piece of work, which was supported by the community in a consensus way, was that both the size that we can accomplish and the pace at which we can see growth and development along Barber is dependent on having high quality transit. And so this study allows us to move one more step down the road to accomplishing those ends. And in addition, it wasn't just about looking at development. It was about the different centers that we could create along Barber, but also it was about safety for pedestrians, about bicycles, and also a project like this, once in construction, and even in the planning stages here, is going to give us a means by which to address some of those, taming of Barber, making it a safer place. As Susan said in her comments, you know, we have a good deal of growth that we're forecast to accomplish over the next 25 years. A lot of that needs to be on corridors like Barber. So we need to set ourselves up to make Barber a successful place for businesses, a successful place for people to live.
So this is clearly a very important project. I'm wondering why we're being asked to fund it with general fund dollars and whether that sets a precedent.
Well, this is a project which is intended to fulfill the vision that this, for the city set out by us and by the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. This is about the future of the city as a whole. It's not just a transportation project.
Have we ever funded a DIS with general fund dollars before?
Question.
Well, that's obviously a question you can get back to me on. I just, you know, with so few general fund resources and with the Bureau, the Transportation Bureau having additional resources in the past 5 years, we have concentrated our general fund money on street sweeping and street lights. So this is a really a different request for us. No question that it needs to be funded, but by which fund is the question?
I don't think the Transportation Bureau has gotten many additional resources in the past 5 years.
Right. So
So Greg Jones with Transportation. So reaching back to Max, Westside, Interstate, and Portland-Milwaukee, the majority of the funds have been a blend of urban renewal funds and sources like parking revenues and other revenues within the city.
Within transportation?
And within transportation, but primarily urban renewal was the mechanism that funded the match requirements for most of our light rail projects. In the case of Southwest Corridor, we don't have that available to us. We have a very small section of Southwest Corridor that runs through the urban renewal district, and we need a new model for funding these regional projects and the match requirements than what we've used in the past.
So this is a foretaste of what happens when it's time to build it, right?
Yeah. Chris and I were sharing knowing glances. We've been here before, but it's usually on the construction side.
I just want to be clear, we'd be embarking down a path which we know is unsustainable in parks if we don't have the ongoing money in the general fund. So, and one, I personally will be looking to the what's in transportation, because obviously this is a very high priority project.
Right. Yeah, I think we all know one reason we had to call on Greg, there are a couple of others of us here who can dredge up bits and pieces of this story, but this project development process is very long, and it takes a sustained effort, and it's never convenient to find the money to do the planning work. But if you don't find the money to do the planning work, you're not ready when the federal government is to fund the big cost. And you know, we've all been here multiple times before, so it's really important to maintain the momentum. But you've raised an important color of money question, which we've got to grapple with. I'm not dismissing that at all.
Well, particularly when we've already invested, as Joe said, in the zoning and the land use part of it.
Right.
It seems like we've given from the general fund for that.
And just a point on that, a good deal of the work that we did to prepare the Barber concept plan, in fact, most of it came from a Metro CET grant.
Sorry.
I was just going to say, I would note that urban renewal funds are in part general fund, because when we do urban renewal, we reduce the amount of general fund we have. So in a way, we do have a precedent for using general fund to fund these kind of projects.
And one other thing, so Art Pierce, planning manager at PBOT, one other thing to add is one of the things that makes this effort, I think, unique, and one of the reasons why we were so inspired with it through the Barber concept plan, is this is looking not just at simply the transportation needs of this community, but looking more broadly at all of the needs of this community through the shared investment strategy. And so part of at least our belief is that this is not just simply an ask around the core of the transportation infrastructure. This is moving this conversation along about a regional priority of how to shape this corridor. And so it doesn't seem as though it lies solely on transportation, and certainly won't be able to just involve transportation staff. That's why the planning staff are involved as well all the way through this.
Let me just follow up for one second, because this format of doing transportation in several different sessions, I'm having a hard time tracking what we said yesterday even. We had a discussion about the Outer Powell plan, right? And is there a request from transportation for the Outer Powell plan?
No.
So then, you know, in terms of equity and where we're focusing our resources, if you're wanting a general fund ask for transportation needs, how does this stack up with the $1 million for the crossings, crosswalks, and other improvements in outer southeast and outer east?
From a that's a tough question. I mean, from a timeliness standpoint and a partnership standpoint, we want to be good partners with Washington County and the other jurisdictions that are going down the track right now on trying to further the Southwest Corridor plan. In terms of immediate savings of people's lives, making an investment in safety features at dangerous intersections has a certain appeal. So I can't actually tell you right now, if I had to choose between one or the other, how I would choose.
So I want to amplify on the point that Art made. I think more than any other high-capacity transit project, this project has led with land use. I was the Planning Commission liaison to the Barber Concept Plan. The virtues of that plan have been extolled already. I won't go into that. But it does emphasize that we're really looking to understand how we're going to do the transportation project to benefit our community building goals. And I think that has some nexus for why this is broader than just, you know, moving people in transportation. And I think in terms of precedents, I think about all the streetcar planning I've been involved in. We have not gone to GTR for the revenue to do the planning and construction that we have for operations, but we've used TIF and other, you know, federal leverage sources to really, I think, because streetcar shapes placemaking in a way, and I see this very parallel to that.
Other questions? I think I want to thank you, Chair Dyke, and Councilor Stacey for coming, and for the team from Metro as well. I think this discussion has done a good job of highlighting the importance of this investment and also raising the, you know, the color money questions that we have to address in the budget process. So thank you. Great presentation. And obviously, we may have other questions like the timing of the two phases of this funding, you know, 14, 15, 15, 16, but we'll deal with staff on those questions if we have them later in the development of the proposed budget. So,
thank you very much.
Thanks very much.
Thanks for keeping this on the front burner.
Thank you. Okay, so let's go.